Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today. Hello, friend. Dr. Yoder has a very important message for you today. But before we listen to that message, I want you to know that what you hear will be the first part of the message, Believing the Inescapable. Now, you'll only hear the first point of his outline because of our time limitations. But I assure you, we'll be back next week with the second part. So I urge you to be sure to listen both now and next week at this same time to hear the whole message. Now, let's listen to Dr. Yoder.
My friend, since we have no physical proof of the resurrection of Christ except the empty tomb, our affirmation must rest on belief or faith. But now I must define faith. For some, faith is ignoring the supposed facts or the absence of facts. For others, faith is credulity, by which they mean simple-mindedness, not be able to think through the propositions or the problems. For still others, faith is evidence of low intelligence. They believe education will replace the need for faith. The more you know, the less you need to believe. Many university professors of biology, no doubt, on the first day take delight in telling their freshman students something like this. Here in my classroom, you will soon learn that what you may have been told in church is just so much garbage. I base all my propositions on assured results of scientific research. Then, on day two, he may say what the Encyclopedia Britannica says. I quote, "In the evolution of horses during 60 million years, the average rate per genus was 7,500,000 years." And he expects his students to accept what he says as proven facts because, he said, "I base my conclusions and propositions on scientific research." To me, that is an example of amazing ignorance or arrogance. There is no way that scientific research can make such a statement. Scientific research deals with what is observable, and of course, 60 million years are not observable. I am unashamed to tell you my understanding of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is based on my faith in the Holy Bible as the revelation from God. I believe the records of the New Testament are true and without error. So I come to 1 Corinthians 15 with confidence that the Apostle Paul wrote the truth not only as he understood it, but as it was revealed to him from God by the Holy Spirit. I have called my message, Believing the Inescapable. I base my message on 1 Corinthians 15:20-28. Every serious-minded person must consider the reality of the resurrection of Christ. From this, there is no escape. Now, friend, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15:20-28, and here is the Word of God. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. And when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. From Paul's words, I collect several convincing pronouncements which will lead us to believe the inescapable fact of the resurrection of Christ. The first pronouncement is, Christ has incontestable authority. Those two first words of verse 20 are specific words. They are, but now. All argument is closed off. Paul has entertained all the questions so far that might be raised, and by these two words, he makes it emphatically clear. It is a logical position. But now is Christ risen from the dead. All argument is closed off. Look further. For since, he says, by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Man brought death, therefore man must bring the resurrection. That is a necessary fact. What Adam spoiled, Jesus repaired. In the Garden of Eden, when God placed the man in the garden, he said that he should not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, putting this restriction on it. And the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, the record is quite clear. Eve and Adam ate of the tree, and brought sin and death to the human race. Sin brought death, whereas in Adam all die. There's no debate there. The Bible is very clear on it. They died as a result of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I want you to pay close attention to the fact that the all is all-inclusive. Then the second clause in that sentence, in that verse 22, says, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. There is where the debate takes off. I would like to tell you, my friend, that I believe the all of the first clause and the all of the second clause cover the same fact, cover the same race. As in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. All human beings will experience the resurrection. This is very clear in the Bible, for example, from the words of Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verses 28 and 29. Hear what he said to his followers. Here are his words. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. And they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Do you see what I'm telling you? And then also in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 20 and verses 4 and 5, make it equally clear. Here the Apostle John heard and saw what was going to happen at the end of the age, and he said, I quote Revelation 20, verses 4 and 5, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now listen. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. End of quote. The first resurrection is the resurrection of the righteous dead. The second resurrection is the resurrection of the wicked dead. And then we turn to the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to the Colossians and the first chapter. You must hear this, my friend. You must hear from the pen of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the Colossian believers in chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. And here is what he said. He's talking about the preeminence of Christ. And this is what he writes, I quote, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus Christ has the incontestable authority over death, to be sure. Amen.
I'm sorry to interrupt right now, my friend, but we don't have enough time left in our program to listen to the next complete point of Dr. Yoder's message. But I assure you that we will be airing the remaining points during our next visit together. Because we want you to have the full benefit of Dr. Yoder's teaching, we divided the program at this point so we can pick it up again next week. So I urge you, be sure to be with me then. At the beginning of today's message, Dr. Yoder spoke briefly about the importance of faith in God and His Word, the Bible. You may ask, just how important is faith in God? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us this: "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." That's clear enough, isn't it? You cannot know who God is without exercising faith. It takes faith to believe that God exists, because you and I can't see Him. But I must also tell you this: it takes more faith to believe that God doesn't exist. I like what some wise person once said: "All that I have seen teaches me to believe in the one whom I have not seen." Did you get that? All that I have seen teaches me to believe in the one whom I have not seen. Paul says something similar to that in the book of Romans. He says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead." So, the created world reveals the reality of our Creator. Nature shows a design, and anything that has a design must logically have had a designer. Now, my friend, the subject of today's program is so very important. Perhaps you have questions about what you heard. If you do, please write to us. We'll gladly respond to your questions using God's Word as the basis for our answers. Here's how you can contact us. You can write to us at Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can go to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and send us your letter by email. We do look forward to hearing from you. And if you're listening to me today and you do not have a Bible, please write and ask for a free English language Bible. Now remember, this offer only applies to you if you do not have a copy of the Bible. Our goal is to get God's Word into the hands of as many people as possible. So that's why we only give them to those persons who do not have a Bible of their own. So if you do not have a Bible, then write to us today. Once again, the mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And our web address is www.heraldsofhope.org. Send your request for a free English language copy of the Bible, or to write with your questions about the Bible or living a life that's pleasing to God. Now I invite you to join me next week. We'll be back with part two of this message, Believing the Inescapable. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.